the analysis of the notes with Lucas and Clara from El Comercio from Ecuador.
Okay, let's unpack this. We are diving into a really high-stakes scenario today, a geopolitical drama, basically, playing out between the U.S. and Venezuela. This deep dive is all about these alleged major concessions offered directly from Venezuelan leadership to Washington. And this was happening amid some really intense military pressure.
Right. Our mission here is to try to navigate through this fog of claims and, frankly, counterclaims. Mm-hmm. We're looking closely at reports from back in October 2025. We're drawing on statements from former President Trump, plus some pretty detailed stuff published by news agencies like EFE, The New York Times, The Miami Herald. And the core question, I think, is what does it even mean when a heavily sanctioned regime, kind of isolated, allegedly offers everything to its main adversary? Because these claims, they touch on huge things, economic restructuring, global power shifts, maybe even who's next in line politically.
And that headline claim, it's startling because, well, it apparently came straight from the top. Speaking from the White House, Donald Trump said very clearly that Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro had, quote, offered me everything. His words were, "Él me ha ofrecido de todo."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a massive thing to say. A sitting U.S. president claiming the leader of a rival nation basically offered total capitulation.
It is. And what's fascinating is just the sheer breadth implied by everything.
Right.
It suggests this wasn't about, you know, minor diplomatic tweaks. It points towards systemic shifts. And according to Trump, the motivation was pretty straightforward. Maduro does not want to mess with the United States. Which implies, I suppose, an acknowledgement from Caracas that the U.S. pressure, diplomatic, economic, maybe military too, was just becoming unbearable. It kind of positions the whole alleged offer as a desperate bid for survival, maybe?
Yeah, it sets the stage for some kind of grand bargain. But we're not just talking vague promises here, are we? This is where it gets really interesting, because the New York Times went further. They detailed specific, like, concrete economic proposals Maduro allegedly put on the table to ease the conflict. And these aren't small adjustments. They sound like a fundamental U-turn for the country.
Oh, absolutely. We are talking about proposals supposedly aimed at completely redirecting Venezuela's main resources
mm-hmm.
away from their current strategic allies and, well, towards the U.S., first off. Opening key oil and gold projects directly to U.S. companies. Now, Venezuela has the world's largest proven oil reserves, right? So offering the U.S. access to exploit those, plus the gold projects, which have been really crucial for the regime to sidestep sanctions. That's a huge economic concession.
Huge. But it gets even bigger when you look at the other points, right? Second and third. They allegedly offered preferential contracts to U.S. firms. This is critical to redirect energy exports that currently go to China. Redirect them to the United States instead.
Exactly. And if you connect that to the bigger picture, I mean, that's a direct challenge to the whole global power competition dynamic. For years, China, along with Russia and Iran, they've kind of acted as Venezuela's financial and political shield against Western sanctions. You know, buying their oil, providing financing, security guarantees.
Wait, hold on. So they were essentially offering to just divorce their biggest strategic partners just to get on better terms with the U.S. That sounds incredibly risky, like sacrificing your last few friends for just a chance at a shaky peace deal.
It is exactly that extreme, based on these reports. The proposals allegedly went even further, offering to terminate existing mining and oil deals with all three, China, Iran, and Russia. This isn't just about changing who you trade with. It's like tearing up the very foundation of their current geopolitical strategy. Venezuela relies on these countries not just for trade, but for military support, crucial supply lines. Cutting those ties would leave them strategically exposed. But maybe, just maybe, it would finally get those sanctions lifted.
And that seems to be the key, right? Sanctions relief. We keep saying punishing sanctions. Maybe just to remind us, for listeners who don't track this daily, why offer so much just for relief?
Well, it's basically economic life support.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. sanctions block the regime from the international financial system. Think U.S. dollars, think SWIFT, the system banks use globally. This makes selling oil their main source of revenue incredibly hard. It forces them into these complex, discounted, sort of black market deals, mostly with those allies we mentioned. So, relief. That means access to legal markets again, stable prices, the ability to import essentials like medicine, food, without all these complicated maneuvers to bust the sanctions. The cost of staying aligned with China, Russia, Iran under that constant sanction pressure. Maybe it just started to outweigh the cost of this alleged capitulation.
Okay, so the economic desperation, that makes sense. But the political concessions reported by the Miami Herald, Wow, they are maybe even more stunning. They suggest, what, serious fractures right at the very top?
Yeah, shifting gears to the political side. The report claimed that Vice President Delcy Rodriguez and her brother, Jorge Rodriguez, he's the president of the National Assembly, basically the regime's top negotiator, they allegedly offered the U.S. something extraordinary, the possibility of them, the Rodriguez siblings, leading an eventual government of transition without Maduro.
That is immense. We should probably stress who these people are. Delcy Rodriguez isn't just anyone. She's the vice president. She's the face of their economic and diplomatic strategy. And Jorge Rodriguez heads the legislature, deeply tied to security, intelligence. This isn't some minor rebellion. This is supposedly the regime's core offering up the head of state.
It raises a huge question, doesn't it? Why would the VP and the head of the National Assembly try to remove their own president? And essentially try to seize control of what happens next. The sources suggested two main goals. One, keeping internal political stability, maybe managing potential violence or dissent inside the country. And two, getting that vital immediate sanctions relief from Washington. It completely complicates the picture of this unified, iron-fisted regime. It paints a picture of intense maneuvering, maybe for personal survival, maybe factional survival.
And this alleged, betrayal, it has to be seen against the backdrop of raw military pressure, right? These reports didn't just appear out of thin air. They surfaced amid really severe rising military tensions. The U.S. had already deployed units in the Caribbean Sea.
Exactly. That military pressure was like the pressure cooker that might have forced these desperate alleged offers. It wasn't just naval deployments. The Pentagon claimed it had actively destroyed vessels linked to drug trafficking. And they explicitly tied these operations to the Maduro government.
And the escalation went beyond just ships, didn't it? Trump declared the CIA was authorized to carry out covert operations inside Venezuela. And maybe most alarming, they were actively thinking about extending attacks to the mainland. That move, authorizing covert ops on sovereign territory, considering actual attacks, that's an existential threat.
It creates a pretty clear potential cause and effect, right? You've got foreign military forces possibly operating inside your borders, destroying assets, threatening more attacks. At the same time, your economy is crippled by sanctions. It's like the perfect storm of leverage. It could push even a really dug-in regime to consider things that look like political suicide, things like removing their own leader, cutting off their strategic allies. These negotiations, if they happened like this, might have been born out of sheer military necessity.
Okay, but we absolutely have to present the other side here. The very strong denials from the Venezuelan leadership. Maduro quickly rejected all of it. He asserted Venezuela's political and military command was, quote, more united than ever, ready to defend the country.
Yes, and Delcy Rodriguez herself, the person named in the Miami Herald report, as allegedly offering the transition, she specifically and unequivocally denied those accounts.
Mm-hmm.
She declared flat out that Venezuela does not negotiate its sovereignty.
So what does this all mean then? We've looked at claims of offering everything, specific economic plans targeting U.S. rivals, these alleged offers of regime change by top deputies, all happening while the CIA is apparently authorized for covert ops and there are threats of mainland attacks. And yet the official response is total denial. Sovereignty is non-negotiable.
The contrast is stark, isn't it? Between the very detailed, very specific nature of the alleged accessions opening gold mines, shifting billions in oil deals, removing Maduro, and then this flat, absolute denial. It creates a massive credibility gap. Someone isn't telling the whole truth, clearly. Now, the regime needs to deny this publicly. That's obvious. Acknowledging offers like these would just confirm internal weakness, splits at the top. But the level of detail that came out from multiple sources, it suggests that maybe talks, far from being minor, might have gotten very, very serious, perhaps close to real capitulation.
A profound contradiction for you to weigh. So here's the final thought. Given the detailed nature of these alleged economic and political concessions and that simultaneous high level of military tension creating this ultimate pressure, is it even possible for the idea of sovereignty to stay absolute when a nation faces that kind of extreme external force? What price is stability or sanctions relief really worth? Especially if the cost is cutting off your global allies and maybe even removing your own president.
That really is the core question here, isn't it? Was this a genuine, desperate attempt at finding a way out? Or maybe just a very sophisticated play for time, trying to stall against what looked like an imminent military threat? Lots to think about.
Definitely a heavy thought to take away from this deep dive. If you enjoyed this exploration, this breakdown, and found it valuable, please do make sure you subscribe to the show and maybe share it with someone else who loves learning and digging into these kinds of topics. We really do appreciate your support.
comment, subscribe, and share. More information at www.commerce.com.